Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. Health wasted on the worship of the God of self. And Saints, it's all in conjunction with this last day generation of those who are lovers of their own selves. They're proud. There's a whole resume in 2 Timothy 3. They're lovers of their own selves in these perilous times, which the Holy Spirit foretold would come. They're covetous, they're boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors. Boy, don't we see that? Visibly, we all can see in our government, we have absolutely criminal traitors filling those places of civil leadership, and all the rank and file deceivers who go along with their criminal evil, just as the Germans who said they were just doing their job by obeying Hitler to murder millions and to try to take over the world. So they're traitors. The list continues. Heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form. They even have a form of godliness. In other words, they have some kind of religious external practice. They have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Notice they deny the power, that is, of godliness, of the authority of Jesus Christ. See, Jesus told us that anyone who did not submit to His authority is going to be slain down into hell. Notice Luke 19:27. But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, are you submitted to Christ, my friend? The Bible says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. When Satan has no foothold because you have denounced and turned away from all sin, first and foremost, you're turning to God. And he that abideth in God, in Christ, sinneth not. So the door is closed on the face of the enemy, who hopefully has a broken nose as a result, if you know what I mean. Whenever we relinquish our lives afresh to Christ, let me say this right here, friends, that if you're being tormented, now there are things we go through in life because we're righteous, and God trieth the righteous, and he brings us through some dark places and tells us to cling to him through those seasons, Isaiah 50:10. And yet some of the things that may be happening in our lives could be because there's an open door to the enemy. He has a foothold because we have sin. The actual solution is to submit ourselves, therefore, to God afresh. Right now, today, the past is the past, friend. And today is the first day of the rest of your life. And you have the opportunity that Jesus purchased with his own blood to go before the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 4:14-16. And you can come boldly because of the blood of Jesus. Never elevate your sin above the blood of the cross of Jesus Christ. That, my friends, is idolatry. Have you ever thought about it that way? Are you putting some sin above the cross of Christ? There is nothing above the cross of Christ. And so take it before the Lord. Confess that Jesus ever lives to provide that which he came and purchased for us at the right hand of his Father as he makes intercession for you. Because like Peter, he says, Satan has desired to sift you, but I've prayed for for you, that your faith fail thee not. Amen. But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them. Now, did Jesus just define who his enemies were? Yes. A resounding yes. A resounding definitive yes. Have you ever heard this first read on Sunday morning in these little circuses we call church? Notice, but those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, those who don't allow Jesus to really be the master, the Lord, to sit on the throne of their hearts, to relinquish their own will, to say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done, O God. I tell you what, that's when life begins to get sweeter, no matter what you endure. And there's going to be a peace that comes into you when this happens that passes all understanding. Amen. But those mine enemies, and then he defines whose his enemies are, regardless of whether or not they have a formula of godliness. Most people you talk to that claim to be Christians, the first thing they want to talk about is, oh yeah, I go to church. Well, the Bible says Satan himself believes in God and trembles. That doesn't make you a follower of Christ. In fact, this might, one of the things that's sending more people to hell, it probably is, they think they're right with God because they have this external formula of serving God while they live their life lawlessly and to their own glory as their own little God. They don't submit to Christ. Let me tell you something. According to Scripture, repentance is absolutely an essential. Jesus said, except ye repent, you shall all likewise perish. And when you repent, it's all Jesus from that moment on. And you know, every one of us has a spotted history since the day that, you know, Christ found us. We turned to him away from our own way and sin and to Jesus, and he saved us. That's our audience here, and we don't apologize for that, is the remnant body of Christ. And yet after that, a lot of it's because if you don't get into Word and become transformed by the renewing of your mind, then, you know, you're not going to grow in Christ and have that proper biblical foundation built. By the way, we do have a book. That one's been going out pretty rapidly here, rapid fire lately. People are starting to get a hold of it. And the title of it, it's a small book that helps build a solid foundation of Christ in your life. The title of that small book is What Next, Now That You Are Saved? Subtitle, How to Daily Walk with Jesus. Amen. What next? Look that up on store. Actually, go to safeguardyoursoul.com and just click the store button. I believe that'll be a blessing to you and maybe somebody else you know. So Jesus tells us here that his enemies are those that don't allow him to reign over them. You know, bring them hither, he says, and slay them before me. Jesus is going to slay, separate, cut off all those who don't love him enough. It's all about love, actually. Who do you love the most? Is Jesus Christ the first love of your life? You should be examining that not only every day, every minute of every day. Amen. Jesus told the Ephesians in Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, he complimented them and he said, yet I have somewhat against thee because you've left your first love. Then he says what? Repent. When Jesus says repent, that means you're in danger of hellfire if you don't. That's the obvious intention of him using that word. An inference is the word I meant to use. But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them. Jesus just defined who his enemies are. Those that don't allow him to reign over their lives. And how much sweeter is it when Jesus is reigning over our lives? In fact, let me just say this. You, my friend, if you're not allowing Jesus to reign, truly reign in your life today, you are a person that is full of shame, you're full of guilt, and you're full of misery. And it's not going to get better. Because the Bible says in Proverbs that the way of transgressors is hard. And you know why it's hard? Because Jesus loves you and he's not willing that you perish. And he is absolutely setting things up to cause you to come back home to daddy and to sit in his lap and to love on him. Amen. Like the prodigal son when he was away from the father. That's a picture of us being away from God. Every one of us, even if it was just for a day or two or a minute or an hour, has been away from God after being saved. What did that bring? That brought the miry clay, the filth that we see depicted in Luke 15 when the prodigal son went away from the father and then he came to himself. Do you remember that? How he came to himself. Notice what he says here. Wealth wasted on the worship of the God of self. And saints, it's all in conjunction with this last day generation of those who are lovers of their own selves. They're proud. There's a whole resume in 2 Timothy 3. They're they're lovers of their own selves in these perilous times, which the Holy Spirit foretold would come. They're covetous, they're boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors. Boy, don't we see that? Visibly, we all can see in our government, we have absolutely criminal traitors filling those places of civil leadership and all the rank and file deceivers who go along with their criminal evil, just as the Germans who said they were just doing their job by obeying Hitler to murder millions and to try to take over the world. So they're traitors. The list continues. Heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form, they even have a form of godliness. In other words, they have some kind of religious external practice that they practice. They have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Notice they deny the power, that is, godliness, authority of Jesus Christ. See, Jesus told us that anyone who did not submit to his authority is going to be slain down into hell. Notice Luke 19:27. But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, you submitted to Christ, my friend. The Bible says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. When Satan has no foothold because you have denounced and turned away from all sin, first and foremost, you're turning to God. And he that abideth in God and Christ sinneth not. So the door is closed on the face of the enemy who hopefully has a broken nose as a result, if you know what I mean. Whenever we relinquish our lives afresh to Christ, let me say this right here, friends, that if you're being tormented, now there are things we go through in life because we're righteous and God trieth the righteous, and he brings us through some dark places and tells us to cling to him through those seasons, Isaiah 50 verse 10. And yet some of the things that may be happening in our lives could be because there's an open door to the enemy. He has a foothold because we have sin, and the actual solution is to submit ourselves therefore to God afresh right now, today. The past is the past, friend, and today is the first day of the rest of your life, and you have the opportunity that Jesus purchased with his own blood to go before the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 4 verse 14 through 16. And you can come boldly because of the blood of Jesus. Never elevate your sin above the blood of the cross of Jesus Christ. That, my friends, is idolatry. Have you ever thought about it that way? Are you putting some sin above the cross of Christ? There is nothing above the cross of Christ. And so take it before the Lord. Confess that Jesus ever lives to provide that which he came and purchased for us at the right hand of his Father as he makes intercession for you. Because like Peter, he says, Satan has desired to sift you, but I've prayed for you that your faith fail thee not. Amen. But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them. Now, did Jesus just define who his enemies were? Yes. A resounding yes. A resounding definitive yes. Notice, but those mine, have you ever heard this first read on Sunday morning in these little circuses we call church? Notice, but those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them. See, those who don't allow Jesus to really be the master, the Lord, to sit on the throne of their hearts, to relinquish their own will, to say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done, O God. I tell you what, that's when life begins to get sweeter, no matter what you endure. And there's going to be a peace that comes into you when this happens that passes all understanding. Amen. So, but those mine enemies, and then he defines who's his enemies are, regardless of whether or not they have a formula of godliness. Most people you talk to that claim to be Christians, the first thing they want to talk about is, oh yeah, I go to church. Well, the Bible says Satan himself believes in God and trembles. That doesn't make you a follower of Christ. In fact, this might, one of the things that's sending more people to hell, it probably is, they think they're right with God because they have this external formula of serving God while they live their life lawlessly and to their own glory as their own little God. They don't submit to Christ. Let me tell you something. According to Scripture, if repentance is is absolutely an essential. Jesus said, except ye repent, you shall all likewise perish. And when you repent, it's all Jesus from that moment on. And you know, every one of us has a spotted history since the day that, you know, Christ found us. We turned to him away from our own way and sin and to Jesus, and he saved us. That's our audience here, and we don't apologize for that, is the remnant body of Christ. And yet after that, a lot of it's because, a couple of things. If you don't get in the Word and become transformed by the renewing of your mind, then, you know, you're not going to grow in Christ and have that proper biblical foundation built. By the way, we do have a book. That one's been going out pretty rapidly here, rapid fire lately. People are starting to get a hold of it. And the title of it, it's a small book that helps build a solid foundation of Christ in your life. The title of that small book is What Next, Now That You Are Saved? Subtitle, How to Daily Walk with Jesus. Amen. What next? Look that up on store. Actually, go to safeguardyoursoul.com and just click the store button. I believe that'll be a blessing to you and maybe somebody else you know. So Jesus tells us here that his enemies are those that don't allow him to reign over them. You know, bring them hither, he says, and slay them before me. Jesus is going to slay, separate, cut off all those who don't love him enough. It's all about love, actually. Who do you love the most? Is Jesus Christ the first love of your life? You should be examining that not only every day, every minute of every day. Amen. Jesus told the Ephesians in Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, he complimented them and he said, yet I have somewhat against thee because you've left your first love. Then he says what? Repent. When Jesus says repent, that means you're in danger of hellfire if you don't. That's the obvious intention of him using that word. An inference is the word I meant to use. But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them. Jesus just defined who his enemies are. Those that don't allow him to reign over their lives. And how much sweeter is it when Jesus is reigning over our lives? In fact, let me just say this. You, my friend, if you're not allowing Jesus to reign, truly reign in your life today, you are a person that is full of shame, you're full of guilt, and you're full of misery. And it's not going to get better because the Bible says in Proverbs that the way of transgressors is hard. And you know why it's hard? Because Jesus loves you and he's not willing that you perish. And he is absolutely setting things up to cause you to come back home to daddy and to sit in his lap and to love on him. Amen. Like the prodigal son who, when he was away from the father, that's a picture of us being away from God. Every one of us, even if it was just for a day or two or a minute or an hour, has been away from God after being saved. What did that bring? That brought the miry clay, the filth that we see depicted in Luke 15 when the prodigal son went away from the father and then he came to himself. Do you remember that? How he came to himself. Notice what he says here. First off, notice that he left God. You ever do that? You ever get tired of waiting and saying, I'm going to go do things my own way? Well, you know, that's nothing but a dead end street and a cliff that you're going to go off the end of and cause more trouble. The Bible says, be not weary in well-doing, saints, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Amen. Fill your life with the Word of God constantly, the King James Bible, in times of prayer and seeking the Lord's face always. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face continually. As long as you're doing that, it's the picture of your hands up worshiping God. And it's like a funnel. Heaven is the virtue of having us filling your vessel. Amen. That's when satisfaction comes. The Bible does talk about being satiated or satisfied several times. I'm going to try to do a message on that soon. Psalm 37:4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desire of thine heart. And that's only when we're delighting ourselves in the Lord. Amen. But otherwise, we have misery of soul. We have shame. We have guilt. Those are ugly things, muddy the waters of a pure conscience and a pure heart. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Amen. Also, keep thyself pure. 1 Timothy 5:22. Keep thyself pure. And again, Matthew 5:8. Blessed are who? The pure in heart. You want to be blessed with a clear conscience. How can you enjoy anything without a clear conscience? Let me answer that. You can't. I can't. When are we going to come to this realization, take a step back, settle in before the Lord, become quiet, become still, and know that He is God. There is nowhere else to go but Him. Amen. Everything we want and need is in Christ. We're complete only in Him, which means we're not complete, we're incomplete, and we're shattered and scattered when we're outside of Christ, which means we're doing things our own way. Remember, Jesus said to the Father, "Not my will." Jesus in the flesh had to learn by the things which He suffered, right? Even Jesus, Hebrews 5:7-8. But He relinquished His will to the Father's. "Father, not my will, but thine be done." In His hour of the greatest test of His life in Gethsemane, that's what God wants to bring us to. A place where we, and perhaps somebody listening, is in a very hard season right now, and God has got a reason for it, because He loves you. And He wants you to get on your knees, settle down before Him, to raise your hands and your heart and say, "Lord, from now on, first of all, forgive me for doing things my own way. Please forgive me, Lord. And from now on, let it be that not my will, no more, but thine be done. You must increase, but I must decrease. I am dead, and my life is hid with Christ in God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." Amen. That is all Scripture strung together. That's what we need to pray the Word of God. So the prodigal son was away from the Lord in this illustration here. Three parables here in Luke 15, all three of them teaching us the great love, reconciling grace and mercy of our God. Amen. How many listening are glad that His compassions fail not? They are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. As the song says, taken from Lamentations 3:22-23. Somebody might be saying, "Man, I have been fighting this war against this one iniquity or whatever for so many years." Well, let me tell you something, my friend. I've been the same place, and God rescued me, and so many millions of other believers can testify to the same. The cross has to become the center of our lives. How do you do that, brother? Read the Scriptures on it and pray. God will show you how to cross applies to your life. In fact, my friend Billy asked that one day. He said, "Brother, what is the cross?" Now, this is a very intelligent man, by the way. He just had his head down. God was working on him and bringing him to the cross. Amen. So that his life can be vanquished and the resurrection grace and life of Christ can teem, T-E-E-M, and burst forth and live in Him. God's not going to raise up anybody that's not first dead and buried. Amen. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. James 4:7. Perhaps that's one of our main verses here. So we got three books on the cross that have changed many, many lives because of the rich scriptural content. Everything we do, hopefully, is Christ-centered and Scripture-rich, because God's Word is the final divine authority. Amen. He has lifted it. He has magnified it even above His own name. Psalm 138:2. Notice one of those books is called I Die Daily. I Die Daily. Another one's called Raised Up. Raised Up. Resurrection. Amen. Raised Up in the Power of Christ via the Daily Cross. That's the subtitle. 1 Corinthians 15:54. The Bible says death is swallowed up in victory. Amen. How many people are ready for some victory? Well, the Bible says in that same chapter, 1 Corinthians 15:36, "Thou fool," do we believe that we're going to be raised up outside of and before there's a death in our lives, a death in a burial? No. And listen to this. "Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened," not made alive, it's not resurrected, "except it die." That's how the gospel works. The gospel, as it reads in the onset of this chapter, 1 Corinthians 15, is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's being reenacted every day, not for propitiatory reasons, but so that the old man can be crucified and the resurrection life of Christ can teem in us and bring us into places of great momentum and victorious, fruitful living in Christ. That's what abiding in Christ means. So it's a self-induced ignorance. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. As we finish John 15, Jesus tells us that if we're in him, he's going to purge us so that we bring forth even more fruit. You know, when you've done agricultural work, maybe, you know, people that live in the suburbs, some of them might not have that experience, but grew a little garden. That's so important, man, to grow a garden with your kids, if you have kids, when they're young, and to teach them as they grow, you know, the pruning of trees. You know, when you prune a tree, it's only to cause it to refocus its, the nutrients it's pulling from the ground, cause it to go in an upward direction. Some of you guys could explain that much better, but peering into pruning would be a good little background study to what Jesus is saying here. And notice the joy here. You know, when we're new Christians, we read this and go, oh gosh, I'm going to be purged. I'm going through purging. This is rough. Yeah, well, it really ought to be a joy. You know why? Because the lost can't be purged. They're not in Christ. They have no hope. They're without God in this world, as Ephesians 2 says. You, this confirms, if God's purging you, it confirms that you're his son, you're his daughter. What a blessing. Amen. Father, cause us to have a heart of flesh, a teachable, pliable heart, Lord, that's convicted by you, O God, of sin and righteousness and judgment, and very sensitive. Make our conscience sensitive, God. You gave it to us, but yeah, we have seared it and made it to be clouded over and hardened. We ask you to make it very sensitive afresh, God. Give us that heart of flesh all the way down into the core of our being, that we might hear your voice and be directed by thee, Lord, and be convicted by you, Lord. And we thank you that you're purging us. That only shows we're your children. Hallelujah. And we ask you to cause us to be more submissive to you in the death and burial, that you might raise us up. Lord, anoint us to the death and burial of self, that Christ alone, who is the resurrection and the life, might be raised up in us. We love you, Jesus. We love you, love you, love you, Jesus. And we ask you, according to this passage that we're finishing with, that you would bring forth fruit, more fruit, and much fruit in these vessels that are yours. In Jesus' name, amen. So he says he's going to purge you because you're his. It's because you're his that he's purging you. When that hits home, I think it's going to cause somebody to throw their hands up and say, thank you, Jesus, for finding my wretched, wicked soul and saving me by your mercy and by your sacrifice into your eternal kingdom. I love you, Jesus. Have your way in me. Not my will, but yours be done, Jesus. Now ye are clean, he says in verse 3, John 15, through the word which I've spoken unto you. That's how we get clean. Somebody says, how do I get a pure heart? Man, flood your heart with the word of God. The King James Bible, if you're an English speaker, the word cleanses. Amen. Now are you clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Remember, Ephesians 5:26 speaks of the washing of water by the word. Hallelujah. Verse 4, Jesus said, abide. That means remain in vital union with me. Abide in me and I in you. Let me say this. God is always going to do his part. Jesus Christ is God and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I am the Lord. I change not. Malachi 3:6, Hebrews 13:8. God doesn't change. He's waiting on you like a father in his living room or a mother sitting on the couch. The child has to come to them to sit in their lap. Come to Jesus meeting afresh is highly encouraged. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. If we're not drinking of the nutrients of the Lord by an abiding relationship with Christ, if we're not connected to him, fully engaged, seeking him with a whole heart, seek the Lord in his strength, seek his face continually. Memorize that, friend. 1 Chronicles 16:11. I hope there's never a message I preach that I don't include that verse. It will absolutely change your life. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. You want to keep the devil out? Flood yourself with the praises of God. Seek his face continually. Delight in him. 1 Chronicles 16:11. Write it on an index card and memorize it, friends. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Fruit can only be produced, friends, out of an intimate relationship. Fruit trees are able to produce fruit because they are rooted in the ground and drinking of the rich nutrients, the vital nutrients that are in the ground, in the soil. And when we have an intimate relationship with Christ, we're abiding in him as he's teaching us here in John 15. We're choosing to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's all about who we love. Do I love the Lord today with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength? If I don't have a heart after God and I'm not loving him and worshiping him with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, all I have is dead religion, man. That's all I have. That's it. I don't have vital union with Christ, delighting in him. What's it going to be? Dead religion or a living, breathing, victorious, successful, abiding and vital union with Christ? abide in me and I in you, Jesus said, verse 4, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. We can't be saved and then do things our own way. We must remain attached to the vine, Jesus. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. See, fruit being produced shows that there's life. There's a relationship. The fruit doesn't save us. The relationship does. Christ does. And yet, in the life of every person who is in Christ, there's good fruit coming forth, man. Stop and think, if you're walking with Jesus with me for a moment, are you not a changed person from even 6 months ago? Wow, what a blessing, right? The Bible says the Lord is going to perfect that, bring to fruition His will, perfect that which concerneth us. Psalm 138:8. Aren't you glad that Jesus is working in us today, both the will and the do of His good pleasure? Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. We must abide in Christ, who told us in the onset of this teaching of His that He's the vine. We abide in Him. Amen. We preach not ourselves, but Christ. 2 Corinthians 4:5. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain, Paul said. Amen. He counted everything but dung, Philippians 3, for the excellency of the knowledge of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, Jesus Himself, in His prayer to the Father, John 17:3, said, this is life eternal. This is the whole purpose for eternal life. The whole purpose He came and died. This is life eternal, that they might know Thee, only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. Are we going through the motions, or are we getting to know the great God of our Lord Jesus Christ, who Jesus came and died to save us and to bring us into that vital union with Him and the Father? We must ask that question. Do I know Him? Does He know me? Does He call me one of His own? When's the last time I told Him I loved Him and sought His face? It ought to be every day. Amen. When you start tasting and seeing that the Lord is good, it will become more and more prevalent in your life. You're going to seek the Lord and His strength. You're going to seek His face continually. Amen. Verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth or remains in union in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. So first we saw fruit, bearing fruit. Verse 2 has bearing fruit and more fruit. And in verse 5, he speaks of the progression of much fruit. Amen. That goes along with what Jesus taught about the 30, 60, and 90-fold production of fruit. There's a momentum here, friends. Are you experiencing a momentum? Things are starting to get more sweet, aren't they? As we abide in, you know, as we enjoy our relationship with the Lord, realizing there's nothing outside of Him. Kind of like when you start getting older. Everybody's getting older, right? Of course, even if you're 20, you're getting older. You're older than you were at 19. You start to see that though your physical attributes might be beginning to fade, the sweetness of the wisdom you learn is a blessing. Others can say that and explain that a whole lot more eloquently than I just did, but believe everybody, you know, over 30, 40, 50, whatever, 60, 70, 80 could probably attest to that, especially and namely those who walk with Christ. Amen. You wouldn't trade that younger body for the wisdom you've gained, would you? Probably not. Verse 5, as we close, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. I want you to memorize that and share it with somebody this week. Jesus said, without me ye can do nothing. Think about that in context of what He's teaching here. You can't detach yourself or be aloof with the great bridegroom and expect good results. It's not going to happen. Verse 6, John 15, if a man abide not in me, here's a warning. If you don't remain in me, who is he talking to? Well, verse 2, those that are in me, every branch in me, he's talking to those that are in him. This would be an absolutely useless, unnecessary passage if he wasn't speaking to his own people. If a man abide not in me, if you don't remain in him after he saves you, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. When you break off a branch from a tree, a couple of days later you go outside and look at what's happened. It's all the green leaves have faded. They dried up. They're no longer receiving the nutrients from the root system in the trunk of the tree. See the picture that Jesus is giving us here? If a man abide, does not remain in me, does not remain in an engaged, abiding relationship with me like the five foolish virgins, he is cast forth as a branch. He's going to be shut out and is withered. Withered. Why does it wither? No longer is receiving the nutrients that can only be received by abiding in Christ. The branch is separated from the tree and the root system. It's no longer receiving the vital nutrients. Therefore, it dies. It becomes dry, crusty, and disintegrates. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. They're burned. That's all ultimately someone who is born again, does not abide in Christ. And as Jesus taught, they knew him for a while, and in time of temptation, they didn't cling to him, they didn't abide in him, and they did what? They fall away. Luke 8:13. There's no such thing as once saved, always saved, or eternal security in the eternal kingdom of Christ. He never taught such. He taught a conditional, not an unconditional eternal security. You have to appropriate this gift of eternal life. Otherwise, everybody on the earth would have it. And that's the curse and the heresy of universalism. Jesus said, many there be which go into eternal destruction, and only a few go to glory. Matthew 7:13-14. Because only a few choose. So everybody's not going to go. It's going to be based on your choice to engage in a relationship with Christ. And that relationship must remain to the end of your life on earth, or you will be cast alive into the lake of fire. Verse 16, as we do close, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. That's the only ordination you need, is that which Jesus gives. Nothing else matters. That you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask and of the Father in my name, he may give it you. And wouldn't it be a great thing to ask the Father to break us to the core of our being, to grant us repentance in the depth of our heart? It's a gift from God unto everlasting life, into an abiding life with Christ, a life that is crucified with Christ and raised up by Christ for the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.